Blog Talk Radio.
Queen West. Yeah. West Coast Radio Show.
Down, baby. Feel good, man.
There we go. Throw up your W. Give it up for the West Coast Platinum Queen Radio Show.
Here we go. Another one.
Here we go. Throw your dubs up. Platinum Queen West Coast Radio Show.
We keep it platinum queen west because we can do it. We keep it platinum queen west because we can do it. We keep it platinum queen west because we can do it. We keep it platinum queen west because we can do it. It's an incredible plant edible West Coast Radio Show with Sean and Chili Chill unedited. We keep you tuned in to all the news. What you trying to tell me? You ain't never heard of a platinum queen doing a thing? Extraordinary, you know what I mean. West Coast platinum queen, most dominant, and it's like that. Sean and Chili Chill, West Coast platinum queen radio show. Tune in every single Sunday, 12 noon Central Standard Time, which means 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You catch us all day. Sometimes can be extended for an hour, which can be 12. May end at 1, may end at 2. Either way, we're keeping the West Coast. By the Queen West. Sean and Chili Chili.
Good afternoon, everybody. I hope everyone's doing well. And for those of you who are of the Christian faith, happy Resurrection Sunday. And I deliberately say Resurrection Sunday because Easter, as you know, it is actually the celebration of the Ishtar, which is a pagan fertility holiday, but that's a whole other show which we can touch at another point. But I want to thank you all for coming because this show is a very important topic. Now, we were supposed to have it last week, but Shonda and Chill were having some computer problems, and I was not in a position to be able to run the show solo. So we appreciate your patience, and we thank you for showing up today. It will be an interesting discussion, but as always, the discussion can only be as good as audience participation. So please do call in. The call-in number is 347-884-8239. Because the discussion can only be as good as participation. Now, we of the Platinum Queens West Show, which is myself, the Haitian Abomination, Shonda, and Chili Chill, we are not financial experts. We can only speak on our experiences and our opinions. However, some of you guys out there are experts. We do invite you to call in. And so we will speak on practical knowledge that we've gained either from personal experience, from what we've observed others experience, as well as common sense. Speaking of which, this show is brought to you by the new book Common Sense Ain't Common by David Tazdaddy Anderson, which is available in the books tab at tazdaddy.com. And as a personal recommendation from Don Calypso to all of you guys listening, I do recommend that you guys check out a book by George S. Klassen titled The Richest Man in Babylon, where you will read some principles that are over 8,000 years old that still apply to this day as far as proper money management and wealth building. And with this being said, I'll leave the floor to Shonda and Chili Chill. And when they're done, I'll bring up Erico 347, who is listening in the chat room. Shonda, Chill, you guys go ahead.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you guys so much for joining us. Your host is Don Said. This is Shonda, Platinum Queen. We got Chilly Chill. What's up, Chill?
Yeah, what's happening with you, Shonda?
Man, I really want to talk to these teens about these credit cards and the money, you know, the whole currency thing. And as Don, you said before, because I've received some emails saying, and I welcome the chat room and shout out to Don, and the guest is 3598 and guest 3616, and it's up to me, Prophet Assure, Relationship Buzz, Self-Guiding, SGTV. Some parents want to know the best credit cards, and I want to ask anyone in the chat room if they know appropriate credit card for teens, because I'll be sharing you guys the top 10 mistakes that we make with credit cards. But if some parents want to know the best credit cards for their teens, because some going off to college now, some parents giving their kids credit cards in high school. I received some of those. However, I don't think it's a good idea, but some parents' email I received was like, Queen, you know, it's kind of hard with the recession, which don't make sense to me. Because it's a recession, that's why you don't want to go further in debt. But what they were saying, they don't have the money sometimes to give their kids, you know, certain things for school. So they get them a little credit card for maybe they can eat things with school, or some kids, you know, driving to high school, 16, 17, gas card. You know, but I'm like, then get them a gas card. Once you get them a major credit card, but I told you there's some strictly for teens with no APR, with no annual fee is what it is. And it's a limit a month that the parent can stop and put their own limit on it and then debit, you know, to me, which is the best for a teen. But if some parents emailing me saying, well, how can we give them the debit when we don't have the money to keep in the debit to make sure they have it? But let me get you guys' thoughts. Do you guys feel, and Don, please bring in Miko, because I believe that's Miko. Do you think, or what do you think is the appropriate age for a teenager to have a credit card? If at all, or do you guys think they should wait to what they're 21? Because, and
I
let
think
me say
it's
this
a
right quick.
Case by case basis.
And that's true, but okay, let me say this, Don. But why would you give a 16 or 17 year old a credit card with no job?
Well, I guess it depends. If that child is responsible, for example, my parents, I had a credit card when I was in college, although it wasn't my name from their bank, but, you know, they got the statement. I would only use it whenever I would book a flight to fly home, or if I was going to book a bus ticket, let's say, to go visit family in New York during the holidays. And as soon as I bought something, I would email them, say, this is how much it was, so they could pay it off. It's about how responsible that child is.
I was
and
just
by the way,
ready
I,
to say
see,
exactly.
I do see Ronan on the line. His hand is up, so I will open up his line. You know, the resident anti-hero does have a lot of good things to say. Ronan, your line is open.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, Ronan, how are you?
I'm good. Just want to tune into the show and support it and see what's going on.
Let me ask you then, Ronan, because Self-God is just putting all these countries in debt and banks are putting more limits on credit cards. What do you feel, Ronan, is the proper age for a teenager to have a credit card, if at all?
Appropriate age is when they're old enough to understand how to use it correctly. Some are smarter. I mean, some mature faster than others, so it depends on their level of maturity. But I'd say it'd be best until probably around, I would say 18 and up, but it depends on that level of maturity, though.
Ronan, you have 13-year-olds who are better as far as the maturity when it comes to finances than people who are 40, and that's a sad testament to the state of affairs. Before you continue, I don't want to cut you off, but 347 did put their hand up. 347-581, what's your name? And I know you're calling from New York. What's your name, man?
It's Miko again. How you doing, everyone?
I'm good. I'm
Hello.
So glad you're going to be part of the panel and share with us, Miko, her experience, because as you guys know, if you tuned in, not last week because we didn't do a show, but the Sunday before then, Miko was speaking on how she wanted to help teenagers, you know, with the credit credit card and better understand it because, Miko, if you was listening a couple of minutes ago, I've received emails from parents that want to get their teenagers credit cards because, as I said before, some are going away to college and some have credit cards in high school. What suggestion would you give those parents? Because I agree with both what Ron and Don said. Let me say that. Responsibility, because that's the key, is responsibility.
Yeah. It's true, but see, for all the parents listening out there, you also have to be responsible with those credit cards, too, because they take their actions from what they see you do. So if you're, you know, handling yourself irresponsibly, they're going to kind of follow in your footsteps. So you have to be handling your finances responsibly, and also you need to sit down and discuss how it's going to be used and how it should be used, and also, you know, and show them how, you know, you shouldn't spend over what you can possibly pay back in a certain amount of time. Because if you're not doing that, then we're just perpetuating the cycle of, you know, financial, you know, disaster, ignorance of, you know, how to use credit cards to our advantage. It's also supposed to be to build up our credit and make us, you know, responsible adults for the whole credit community, you know, being able to purchase a house in the future, and all those little things that we start from the time we're teenagers, that stays with you. That just doesn't go away just because we were young and we were foolish. For years, it will follow us. So you have to really teach them how to be responsible and use it properly. So sitting down with your kids and really having a long talk about how to use it will be the first thing. And second of all, I think it's different when the credit card is in the parent's name in comparison to being in the young adult's name at 18, because they, when it's in their parent's name, it's almost like they have a little bit of like a stop on themselves. They're like, well, you know, my mom or my dad is going to get really pissed if I spend too much money. But once it's in their name at 18, when they're sitting in those colleges recruiting people, putting credit cards in their name, and they just go wild with it, and they don't realize how much they're hurting themselves.
That is so true, because, I mean, if you think about it, Miko and the panel, you think of parents giving their kids credit cards in college, or you go and you get student loans. You have some people been out of school 10 years still paying on their student loan.
Mm-hmm.
And some credit cards as well. And parents, please pay attention to the APR. Because some, I was researching for some teenagers that's listening, some APRs they're giving them, which no teen is 15.99. The lowest I've seen was a 12% APR.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have some 29. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It's higher than that, Shonda. There's some all the way up to about 36%. And that's really, really, that's terrible. Like, nobody can really pay that back. And if you don't pay attention, the thing will be so attractive, and it'll sound like the perfect thing. They'll even include these, you know, frequent flyer miles and all these points and all this other stuff to try to get people in there. But then they'll be paying this thing off for the rest of their life and may not even still be able to pay it off.
Miko, they don't even need frequent flyer miles. Usually I've seen kids sign their life away to the credit card master for just a damn T-shirt. Let's be honest.
That's true, too.
That's true.
And the Starbucks coffee, like I was speaking a week before, who all didn't listen, you have some students who get a credit card, as Miko and Don said, and they do go crazy, because I have family members and they young, went off to college, 18 and 19, get a credit card, and they charge a Starbucks coffee. I said, by the time you pay, that coffee is $6. By the time you get through paying, you'd have been on paid $300-$400 for a cup of coffee. If you don't pay, you know, and they see jeans on sale, the little young girls want to go charge and go to the mall, and then they do online shopping with these CDs and different things that they do, and I'm like, you're never going to pay it off. pay, and then I'm like, are you guys paying the double? No, if they only ask for 10 to 15, that's what I'm going to pay. I'm like, you're never going to pay it off. You're constantly charging money you don't have, and you're not playing catch up. It's hard to ever really play catch up with a credit card. And let me say this. One of Waste Life, a.k.a. Nate Turner, posted in the chat room, the words credit and debt are interchangeable. That's true. And self-guided, I wanted posted a thing on YouTube for the teens to watch, and he was asking people to watch the video in there, and he said, Queen, this is why the stores target us women. Just think, who do the catalogs come to more, men or women? That's true, too. And that's what a lot of teens are doing. They're shopping in the little tennis shoe thing, the little clothing thing. And that's true, self-guided, and I'm glad you posted that.
Yeah, that's very true. Very, very true. And another thing is online shopping. You need to monitor your teen's activity as far as that's concerned. It's a huge obstacle that parents in the generation after me really have to deal with, because now they can indulge in their impulses right away. Before, we had to get up, get dressed, go out to a store, and motivate to a store to in order for us to go spend our money. Now we can just sit in the bed with our laptop on, with our Wi-Fi, and just spend up money and not even think about it. So that really, really needs to be monitored. And you need to teach the kids, like, if they have, if they're using a credit card and they can't pay off at least half of the bill with the money that they have on hand, they really don't need to make any purchases beyond half of what they can pay.
Yeah,
the minimum balance is not going to do it.
You're right about that.
Exactly. And Don, I like what you posted. They were saying, and let me say this to teens and the parents that listen. If you can't afford it, that's not the be-all is the credit card. That's not the answer. Somebody posted layaway. My father said, if you can't pay cash for it, then you don't need it.
I agree. Yeah. I live on a cash diet. I don't have credit cards. I live on a cash diet. Because in all honesty, in this economy, for the next 10 to 15 years, nobody's really going to be able to get a home loan that anybody can really possibly afford, and that won't put you into a huge pitfall. So there's no point in accruing credit for such a purchase. So, in my opinion, yes.
I agree with you, but just officially on the record, just for the record to show the views and opinions expressed by Miko regarding the fact that people will not be able to afford a home loan do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the Platinum Queens West Show, Blossom Radio's advertiser affiliates. Those are the views of Miko.
The views of Miko.
And we do have Solon. I don't want to cut you off. We have Solon Black, who just put his hand up. He's on the line. I know he has something to say about that. Solon Black, what do you have to say about what Miko just hit us with?
Well, Miko is touching on some very good points, and they're quite valid. But I would say that really what should be trained in the mindset of a lot of people is don't acquire if you can't purchase it. Credit is actually one of the problems people don't seem to understand is if they watch now and see how things are going on in the country, the credit that they've been giving out to people is basically transformed from a state of debtness, which also leads to a state of slavery. So basically that's what a lot of people are doing now. They're running straight into a slavery mentality or lifestyle and living past their means. I mean, you're talking about trying to pay off debt and being basically cut off from society in a certain regard, or basically ruled by certain aspects of society, which is the wealthy, super wealthy. And it's hard for you to acquire and gain wealth if you keep giving it off to somebody else. So how are you guys going to gain wealth by doing that? I mean, it may seem fun to go ahead and get it when it's easy to give it to you. I mean, they treat you just like, if you think about it, like drug dealers did. They used to give you a little bit, start off real free, and then they get you hooked. And you get hooked and you're stuck.
That's so true. And I
While we agree with Full in Black, the views and opinions expressed by Full in Black comparing the creditors to drug dealers do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the Platinum Queen Rush, Lost Up Radio's advertisers or affiliates, even though I personally agree. But carry on.
And let me say this, you guys, because I just received a tweet where a mother says she had to close out her team. Don't ever, ever close out the credit card. Do not. That mess up. It lowers your score and your point score. Please don't ever close out, because that happened to me before when I was younger. You don't do that. You know, you don't. You never close it out.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
One of the things Platinum Queen always say is people need to start learning how to use credit in the first place if they're going to use it. I know people are like, what? Don't want to use it. No, don't say that. But I'm going to say, look, don't use it in the first place. But if you're going to use it, you need to learn how to use it the way it was originally put in there, which was corporate-wise. So it's better for you to go ahead and get a corporate credit card, create a company or something like that, and have it to the side and use that as compared to have it hit you personally on your credit report. You could start off better by doing that than actually doing it with your personal credit history.
Yeah, and it's so easy to start a company. It takes very little time, and that's the secret to accruing wealth. Was for a lot of people, their personal wealth wasn't hit. Especially for a lot of our Caucasian people, they knew that this was the thing to do, and that's why they set up that whole corporation system in the first
place. Shout out to Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump, I mean, I just did a video not too long ago, and I talked about Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been in bankruptcy about 7 to 9 times.
Yeah.
And he also had, let me just break this down to people, he was in debt over close to $1 million in debt. And in 9 years, he transformed his debt ratio, so to speak, to $1.2 billion in 9-year span. But he did that by going ahead and using credit in a form of a corporation, not as a personal entity or individual.
Yeah.
That's exactly how you do it. And that's what they're not teaching you guys. They're teaching you guys, teaching people to go ahead and get it personally. And you have to play by the rules of the personal credit score system, which is basically flawed. But when you get into the business corporate credit, that's where it's told that you don't bring the pain home. So if your corporation crashes, that's fine. Let that die. Okay, but it never comes and hits you directly, and that's better.
Miko and Paul and Black, can I say this? Now, mm-hmm. You guys tell me what you think. As far as I know, you said avoid personal credit, but I don't have a company. Now, for my personal credit, when I first started using my credit card, when I got one on my own where I was paying and everything, what I would do is, for example, in order to just build a history of on-time payments, I would use the card like when I do groceries and gas, but then mm-hmm. I would pay it off right away. I would never pay it just a minimum balance, pay off the whole balance. Also, when I got a second credit card, what I would do is I would use one of them just like if I needed car repairs, and as soon as the bill came, I paid it off. So I never had a revolving balance. It was always paid off at the end of every statement. And in my credit, it built up a history of on-time payment. Now, is that better than people just paying off a minimum?
Well, yes. Always better to pay it off immediately. I think American Express is known for that. They had set up their system where you pay your credit card at a certain period and you got to pay it off the balance. If you're going to choose a type of credit card, I think American Express was the better one to get at that particular time, because it forces you to be responsible and get it off your record as quickly as possible. So, but a lot of people today, they think about, you know what the problem is a lot of times with people, is they focus on the minimum balance and the minimum payment that they have to make, not realizing that translates into 10, 20, 30 years in your life. And that's they're not calculating what it's about. They're just thinking about, well, I just got to make that minimum payment. Just like when people purchase their mortgages for their homes. A lot of times you purchase a mortgage for your home, believe it or not, you can have it paid off in 7 to 10 years, all paid off.
If you pay more than the...
But the thing about it is you pay less than if you pay it out in 30 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of... So that's why one of the problems, and especially for our young brothers and sisters, for them to acquire wealth, they'll recognize that the sooner they get rid of this stuff, the more money they have available to do things that they really would probably like to do and don't have any hurt or pain that affects the future in their life, I mean, their future life. And that's very
vital. Okay, let me ask you, what suggestion would you give?
Hold on, Shana, I was going to say one last thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Tying into what you are just saying as far as you're better off paying more than the minimum, it's, you know, more than just what the minimum. Here's the thing. Let me put myself on blast. Prior to meeting my wife, when I broke up my ex and I was moving to my own apartment, I had to spend more than I had, you know, credit card. But I always made sure to pay way more than, even though I could have paid the whole balance in full, I always paid way more than the actual minimum required. So if it said, for example, the minimum was 50, I would pay 200, you know? Also, for my right before I got married, Les, you guys all know I'm coming up on 1 year of marriage with my wife. My car died 3 days before my wedding, so I had to go with my dad to the dealership to buy a new car. What I've been doing is, I mean, first of all, even though I managed to negotiate a good deal, good rate because I had good credit, every time I pay my payment for my car, you can put extra towards the principal. And I've already knocked off, you know, a few hundred off of the principal just from paying more than the actual payment. Now, of course, it's still not great to have a payment. You know, it's going to be great when I don't have a car note because that's going to save me probably $475 a month. But the fact that instead of paying $475, I pay $500. It's only $25 extra. But I can see in my statements already over 1 year how much it's already cut back from the principal. And that's something I would recommend to folks do, like pay off more than the minimum.
Okay, let me take that number that you're talking about right there. Okay, $475 a month is somebody's rent. Okay, let me just be real about that. And this is the problem with people don't seem to understand when they're paying these credit things out is, do you know you're affecting your lifestyle in such a degree like that? $475 a month? $475, what could you do with $475 a month if that was going into your savings? Or what could, you know what I mean? That's the thing, that's the trick about them giving you this credit, because you're throwing away a lot of money. And if you can do $475 a month to give to somebody else, what could you be doing for yourself?
A lot.
Oh, very good point.
A whole lot. And
especially if you
really
put in a 4% interest account or more.
Yeah, and see, if your car payment, this is what I translate. This is what I try to tell people, because when I do mentoring and stuff, when I used to do mentoring anyway for finance and stuff, I used to tell them, do not use credit unless you have to, and if you're going to use it, use corporate credit. That's the only credit you need to use. Don't use nothing else. And here's the thing about this, though. Your regular house, say, for instance, you got a mortgage for about a house, $100,000, paying out, you know, 30 years, whatever the case may be, you're talking about $300,000 going down the drain. $300,000, so an additional $200,000 is gone. So $200,000, another $50,000, that's $250,000. You understand what I'm saying? So you're like, look, who's making the money, who's getting wealthy? The people who are giving you credit. And you are getting poorer and poorer. Even though you may work, you're still waiting upon corporate America to allow you to work the hours you work, give you the job that you need. I mean, a lot of people are really getting crushed by both sides. They're getting crushed by the employment side of it and then the credit side at the same time. And both of them they walk into. And it's very dangerous, especially in today's economy. You can see how it's going. Even today, we complain about our country's deficit. Well, that's no different than what we're dealing with right now. A lot of people have their own personal deficits. Think about it that way. Pay down your debt, get rid of debt, and work from, if you're going to use debt, use corporate debt where you can just write it off and forget about it. Because that's actually a tax benefit too, by the way.
Yeah, I was just about to chime in on that. A lot of people don't know how many things that they can write off on their taxes.
Exactly. Yep.
They're missing out on a lot of money in which they could bank up and put into their savings, because it's important that you have some sort of savings and also, you know, like a rainy day kind of fund, because a lot of people are a paycheck away from being homeless. And and if they find the things that they can take, like tax write-offs, in which they can put that away, and don't go out and spend it, please. When you get your tax refunds, some of you still haven't got them yet, don't go and run. And, you know, like I'm working in my restaurant and I see people come to dinner spending their tax refund cards. And, I mean, that's all well and dandy. You know, I need to make a living, of course. So, you know, but it also kind of hurts me to see them, you know, use their direct tax refund card to come and pay for dinner. Like, you really need to be putting that away and creating some sort of a nest egg for yourself. I mean, a lot of people are getting back, you know, especially if they don't owe a lot of taxes and they have kids and different things. They're getting back, what, $3,000, $5,000? That's something they can put away or something that they can invest in the stock market. Contrary to popular belief, the stock market is doing extremely well, and there's a lot of people making a lot of good money in it, and it's time for Black people to realize that they can get themselves involved in the game.
Exactly.
Well, they need to get involved in the game. You can go with the stock market. I always recommend people to go into the currency trading market because you only have to focus on 6 currency trades, and they're fluid. That means they're cash available instantly. You're just making money off of money. And if you want to make money, we really got to get people into thinking about investing as compared to going ahead and just trying to be a consumer. That's one thing that they want to shove down everybody's mind. They want everybody to be consumers. But the problem is for Black America, we need to switch that, change that switch back to what it used to be, because we used to be more investor mind thinking, but now we're gone like wholeheartedly consumer driven. So we need to ease up on that consumer stuff. I mean, I know it's fun. It seems fantastic, especially when they want to flash up their Jordans or flash their bling-bling watches or the gold or whatever the case may be, or the latest clothes and Louis Vuitton bags and all of this stuff. You need to calm down and think about this for a second, because those people are getting very, extremely wealthy off of what you're doing, and you're getting poorer and poorer.
Exactly.
You're getting poorer and poorer, and it's like you got a bag that you probably can't even take to the pawn shop and get the same value for it that you paid for it.
Absolutely not.
The same people who manufactured the Louis Vuitton bag probably manufactured the knockoff too, but that's a whole other show. I do have one question for Miko and Stolen Black, because you guys are currently the resident money experts here. Now, I don't know. I mentioned earlier this book, The Richest Man in Babylon, that my mom sent me a few years back. I have the French version, but it talks about some basic principles for acquiring wealth. The first one of which being, For every 10 pieces of gold you acquire, or every $10, whatever, save one, and don't touch it. Use it for investing. That's what I've been doing. I haven't invested it yet, but I set up my paycheck so that 10% goes straight to saving. I don't touch it. Everything I do is based off of the 90%. That 10%, I rarely ever touch it. Also, now this is 8,000-year-old knowledge. It also tells you about, you know, invest your money to bring in a residual income. It tells you about investing in property that will accrue in value. It also tells you, as far as don't go for the get-rich-quick scheme, go for a safer bet long-term than a high risk. So what do you guys think about that?
I'll let Nico, I'll wait. Go ahead.
What I feel about it, first of all, yes, I think that, honestly, we can afford to put away more than 10%, but 10% is a good start. I think that we should be doing more like 70-30. We can't afford to do it if we just stop spending our money on a bunch of nonsense. Because if people take a list and they go through their closets and in their garages right now and they take a inventory of how much money they spent, and these same people who said that they were broke have probably spent like about a good, you know, $12,000-$13,000 on a bunch of nonsense that they could have been investing and accruing money and accruing wealth for themselves. Secondly, as far as the whole housing thing is and investing in the housing market right now, that's a little shaky, but land is definitely the thing to invest in, because people are always trying to buy up your land. The house, not so much right now. So if you can find maybe foreclosed land that you can buy, because those different developers are going to come and try to buy you out of it. And So that's my take on that. And I'll just hand it over to the other gentleman over there so he can chime in and tell what he thinks.
Okay. Well, considering that that's what I do, I invest in real estate anyway. I'll break that down. But the philosophy that I follow is a 50-50 philosophy. I think most people can live on that. I never go past, I always invest at least 50% of what I've got. Whatever comes in, 50% of it got to go. Okay? And then when I have for spending, the other 50 is for me to spend. But even when I spend, only 25 of that goes to some frivolous stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to spend on something, I want to get something that gives me value. That's one thing they have to think about. Now, as far as the real estate market thing, well, buying properties, generally people are going to be walking in to deal with mortgages in that regard to purchase something. And since the market is kind of down, it's not a good time for them to go ahead and purchase like that. But there is another way for them to come in at a lower angle. And I've talked to you guys about this. I don't know if you've seen this, Don, when I did the videos. I talked to people about getting tax sale properties, which essentially is buying your stuff at real low levels and still walking in with profits. So if the market fell, it wouldn't matter. Say if you got a house that's $10,000, you pay for it with taxes for $10,000, it's worth $120,000. If the market fell down again, it'll fall down, what, to $50,000, but you never lost anything. You understand what I'm saying? You walked in making money on the purchase, and that's what a lot of these investors are talking about. We talk about making money on the purchase. People never really understand how that works, but that's exactly how it works. You buy low, and no matter what happens, you always have value there. You always have value, so you always step in with profit. That's one thing we need to get our mindset in, buying things that produce profit. Anything that doesn't really produce profit, a lot of that, you know what I mean? Like she said, you go into your house, you probably got all kinds of crap that you can't do nothing with. I mean, it's not going to give you any value. I mean, unless you got some sentimental value connected to it. Other than that, you know, I mean, it is what it is. it's not really producing any wealth for you. So it's like, okay, I feel bad for you. You got all these particular trinkets and everything, but that's great. That doesn't give you anything. The other thing is, don't be afraid. I think a lot of people are afraid of acquiring and getting into investing. I think black folks have to stop being afraid of being or taking their financial destiny in their hands. They need to go ahead, stop thinking about depending upon everyone else, and get into the mindset that we can control this. I think we're pulling in somewhere like $47 billion a year or something like that. We have more than enough to do what we need to do. We just need to focus. We need to focus on investing and building instead of being consumers. I mean, that's just one of the crack for us a lot of times. We're crack
but
consumers.
But any tips or things that you would share with them? Because the reason why I say this, I try not to get frustrated because that's true. That's something we do need to invest in more. But then some black America, some, I don't want to generalize, get upset when you do try to share and teach because we have the mindset of looking good first our material things, then to really look at the future, as Miko said, property. That was something, like I said, my grandmother always instilled with us. So we have property. She said, when I'm dead and gone, if you don't even have the money to put a house, if you pitch a tent, and like she said, it's yours, ever sell it. Don't ever sell your land. But like I said, we into the malls. And like you said, I think it's more than that, $47 billion, because what they make off of come Christmas and Easter and things of that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. When we don't have the money, it's like some black Americans spend money before it's in their hands.
To play devil's advocate here, folks. Even if you have the land and it's all paid off, don't pay your taxes for a while and see what happens. And there's something called eminent domain. I don't mean to burst a bubble, rain on everyone's parade, but you know.
You're right, Don. You're right. But, exactly. That's
oh, I know about eminent domain. Over here in New York, everybody's properties are being taken away from them, you know, due to eminent domain here. I mean, a huge chunk of Brooklyn was taken for eminent domain in order to put the Nets stadium here.
Yeah. Well, eminent domain is really more so a government influence type of thing. They'll use that The real truth of the matter is, if you're paying property taxes in any state that's paying property taxes, you're only going to own 49% of that property. The government's always going to have a 51% stake of it so they can exercise such a thing as eminent domain legally. So you have to think about it in that manner. I mean, now, there's certain states around the country, I just can't remember which ones they are, but where there's no property tax. And that's kind of something people have to think about right there. You know what I mean? They have to think about what's going on and evaluate what's happening in this game. I mean, you got to understand the financial and investment game and maneuver properly inside of those parameters. But too many people are too, you know, like you said, they're too busy trying to spend the money before they even get it, want to look good. And looking good don't mean nothing in your bank account. Don't mean nothing in your bank account except it's broke. You're broke. You look good, though, but you broke as can be. And I don't know how that became a style or a fad that we should enjoy and embrace and lift up. I mean, I look back to my elders back in the day. They had stuff, you know. I remember when they used to drive the caddies and all of the stuff, but they owned their caddies. They owned their homes.
Yeah.
Everybody owned stuff. Nowadays, people don't own jack. If you look at a lot of our people, they're in either condos that they don't own. They keep saying, well, I bought my first home. No, you didn't. You financed your first home. You haven't bought your first home because we need to stop thinking in that mindset. It's like, well, I just bought this new house. I bought this new car. You didn't buy it. The bank bought it. You owe them. Until you pay them off, you still own. So that's not yours yet. Stop thinking it's yours. It ain't yours. Because you don't, like you said, Don, if you don't make a payment, you don't have it anymore.
But like you said with eminent domain, if eminent domain means they have a 51% stake, everything could be paid off. You have the deed in your name. You know, you have all the papers saying it's paid off.
Yep.
You don't pay
but
taxes, they'll take it.
When you have eminent domain, though, this is one thing. When they use and emphasize or exercise eminent domain and you have it paid off, that's a key thing. If it's paid off, then what they have to do is they have to reimburse you. Okay? So that's one of the cases people don't talk about. They think about eminent domain, and they take it, and you don't get anything. No, that's not how it works. They do eminent domain, and if you actually own it, they pay you, okay, for it. So it's not like something that they will just snatch it and not give you a dime. That's not how it works. But the process is always get yourself in a position of having the deed and owning it so you can receive and recoup rewards for it, no matter what happens. But a lot of people are on this tip of not doing that. I mean, they're too busy trying to look good. You know what I mean? So forget about the looking good. Get into being able to be able to receive money. So if they do exercise eminent domain, but they're not doing eminent domain everywhere. But the thing about it is when they have plans to bring income to a certain area, they're going to exercise eminent domain. We have that here even in Baltimore. But they're building a research center to bring jobs to the area. So, you know what I mean? So it kind of, there's a give and take with that. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, okay, you might lose the building, but they're going to pay you for what they had. And then, you know what I mean? Now you got jobs brought into the area. So you have to think about it and weigh it out. But again, people still need to invest. Eminent domain is not a reason to be, you know, to run away from investment. This is a pretty big country.
Oh, not at all.
This is a pretty big country, man. It's pretty huge. So it's like, there's a lot out there for you to get. And at this particular climate, I'm going to say something to the callers, too, and I want them to think about this. Every time when there's a deep recession like it is right now, or you want to call it depression, this is the birth period or time when the most millionaires are born. They're born at this time. A strange time for people to think about it, but that's exactly when it happens. Watch after we come out of this cycle, you see it soon, watch how many millionaires pop out. It's going to be a whole bunch of them. And
well,
I'd like to be as many black folks as possible, you know what I mean?
Again, I hate to be the devil's advocate here, but okay, we might have some new millionaires, but is this because they will have acquired that much wealth, or will it be that they will have millions because the value of the dollar has depreciated so much that everybody's got all those amounts? I'm just playing devil's advocate.
It could be either way. It could be really either way.
Yeah, it won't matter. They'll still be wealthier than the rest. It just won't
matter. That's how they're making it in the first place on the stock market, especially in the like when he was talking about with currency. A lot of people are making it on the depreciated dollar. It has nothing to do with whether they're actually making more money right now with the depreciated dollar than it was when it was better. So that's really not making it neither here nor there. So
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it may seem like that, but yeah, I mean, it may seem like, oh, no, no way. No, they're making more than enough. Believe me, they're going to be making more than enough. And even if the dollar depreciates, it doesn't really affect them. Yeah, you know I mean, so it doesn't matter. If the dollar drops down, they'll make even more. If the dollar stays still, they'll still make more. If the dollar goes up, they'll still make more. It doesn't make a difference. They're still going to be millionaires regardless.
Yep.
So that's why we have to think in the win-win scenarios and things like that. We can always look at the doom and glooms, but investors are courageous. Those who invest are courageous, and they reap from their risks and their maneuvers.
And what tips would you give people? Because I received a tweet on what you guys would suggest are the best thing to invest in right now, with the economy being what it is. That's why, well, I received a couple texts where people, they were afraid to invest. So it's funny you said that, because somebody said they are afraid to invest. But my thing is, why not take a chance? Then you still going to charge. You know, somebody said I think it was you, Solenbeck, about you wearing things that not even yours. And like you, when somebody said, even with the Jordan, so we have to invest and have something, you know, for us. So you think of the future of your kids. And I agree with property is the way to go. So I'd be like you to share tips on, you were saying you invested in real estate.
Yeah.
But what would be the best thing you would suggest for them to? Is that T. Smitty?
Yes.
I don't know.
And trust me, this man, he may sound country, but he got wisdom. And I bet you he's going to tell you to invest in some good southern cooking, especially some biscuits and cornbread. What's up, T. Smitty?
You can invest in mine.
Hey, well, actually, I'm going to tell y'all, invest in the porn industry. That's recession proof. Hey, you motherfuckers still whacking off. I'm sorry, kids, but I'm keeping it real. People still looking at porn regardless. But,
I should
have how y'all doing today?
Chicken in the background.
We're good.
Oh, Lord. All right, cool.
What's up,
my bull stumbled yesterday. He's coming back. But the one thing I noticed, because I've been responding to a video you made about something like that, so I've been busy here. But one thing I noticed here in Arizona, one thing, like, people laugh, he's Mexican. These dudes are making bank on this landscaping, and the dude's going to charge me $60 to pull weeds out of my yard. And these yards are small here in Phoenix. And imagine, these guys probably doing 5 or 6 yards a day at the minimum, probably 6 or 7 days out of the week. So they probably making like 80 or 90. And what happens, he has 2 of his family members. He knocked out my yard and my trees, which cost like $100 because he did all my trees, my bushes, in 20 minutes. but what happened, he made that money, and what they doing, they ride around these neighborhoods with business cards, putting on people's doors and stuff like that. They like, somebody's going to call me. But they do, but it's that work. And one thing, I would tell these kids 2 things. When people say, like, these credit cards, when you're a young person, I fell into that trap mainly because I was an 18-year-old guy. Even though I grew up pretty good, I still never managed that much money myself. And it comes with a sort of discipline with that stuff. And like real estate, like buying a home. Me being in the military, people always tell me, buy a home, buy a home, buy a house. But the thing is, I don't know if I want to live there forever. Or I don't know if I'll get shipped out on orders, because I see, like, in my house, that house sat there for like 6 months before someone ran it out. And that means I still have to pay for that house, all the utilities, keep it up. And also, wherever I need to stay at next. So I feel like people kind of do digging before they say, oh, I just own a house or do that. They got to understand the upkeep involved. If you move, you got to rent it, you short sell it, it kills your credit. You know, we had a lot of guys in the military. You probably know the soul and Roman y'all was in. People buy these houses, they get orders, short sale, credit done.
Yeah. Well, no, there should be cover, because I think the way the government does it is they'll pay off your loan, or they'll pay it, take care of it until you guys get until you're able to get acquired. Because it depends how you go through your loan process. I know how it used to be when we would get shipped out. If you have your house there, the government would take over the process and they would sell the house for it, and they'd just keep everything on par because you didn't have a choice. You're working for them, so you had to do what they told you to do, and they just cover you. But the other thing about investing up, but see, I'm not talking about a house per se. If you have to get it to live in for yourself, you can do that too. That's not really a problem. But what we need to do is we need to definitely buy and invest for ourselves and for our future, for income. I'm not talking about for you necessarily staying there, but for income to expand your financial base and be able to get more. And there's, you don't have to do mortgages. That's one of the things people keep thinking, is you have to go through mortgages. And I just told you, tax sale, you don't even got to go through a mortgage at all. You don't have to deal with that, not one even iota. So you can just go ahead and pay. There's some houses I know I'm looking at, some I'm looking at right now myself for $5,000, $5,000 for taxes, and the house is worth $100,000. So what should I do? Should I sit back and not buy it, or should I just go ahead and buy it? I mean, what do you think?
Well, you got the means to take care of that. You know what?
No,
though,
man, wait. $5,000? That's less than what you pay for a car.
I know you got it. I say less than my car, but you know,
oh,
and I feel like I know you're coming from, but I know you're doing stuff like that. And I know with me, I can't afford to upkeep and probably sell like that right now what I make. I know that. But you know, probably when I retired, I really had the money to get in my career and stuff.
That's one of the bad mistakes right there. That's always the bad mistake. Okay, Smitty, are you having fun in your life right now?
I'm paying for these damn books. That's not fun, but yeah, somewhat.
Okay. I mean, do you go out a lot?
Not really. I don't have the time.
Oh, you don't have the time right now? So what do you do with your
not
money?
Not really, don't. What's that? I'm saving it. And plus, honestly, I don't really have the time because I'm always in school or work, and I'm in Texas right now for a class. So they always air me out.
So you're stacking your money up, and what are you making on interest off your money? Because this is embarrassing. I know when you say this, it's going to be like really embarrassing, the numbers you make.
Yeah, well, since I was one of those guys that got caught up with the whole banking collapse with my little funds and stuff, and that's how I started to build back up. Yeah, it happened to me. So I was going that way.
Let me tell the people something real quick and let you all know this. You know, you can actually make money off the currency market without actually trading in the currency market. The currency market, you can put money into the currency fund and have a manager for it, but they'll actually pay you interest for the money just sitting there. You actually get more than what you get from the bank.
That's true.
You get more than what you get from the bank. So it's like, how is that? That's an investment thought that you can actually do, and that's not real estate. That's just currency. Not just making money on that. There's many other different aspects that we can use. You got stocks, you got currency, you got real estate, you got land, okay? There's mad stuff. You got franchise business. I mean, there's a whole plethora of stuff.
So I don't mean to make light of the subject, but knowing T. Smitty, rather than invest in currency, he'd probably take Nico's advice and invest in her cornbread because, you know, that he thinks more with his stomach. But that's off topic. I digress.
Well, I'll tell you one thing you can definitely invest in, though. You can invest in the futures market because I don't know if you guys have been noticing, but how much does it cost to buy bread nowadays?
A lot.
$3.
About $4.50 here in New York.
Wheat has gone up. If you were investing in wheat futures, just wheat alone, you go into wheat alone, wheat has gone up somewhere around 50 to 75%. And in other places, it's 300%. 300%. And you know why? Because we have a shortage of it. And if you pay attention to what's going on in the world right now, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, all of this stuff is going on, and that destroys the crops. When that destroys the crops, causes all the problems. These things help you make plenty of money. These people are sitting back and making a killing off of wheat. They're making a killing off of it right now. There's a shortage over there in the Middle East. They don't even have enough to make the bread that they like to make.
And he loves bread. And I already got a shortage in over there also. When I went to Turkey, I deployed to Turkey, I saw people carrying water, gallons of jugs of water in their checked baggage. They weren't even carrying clothes. They were carrying water. So you know somebody's making money off controlling water.
Yeah.
And at hit me, I was like, damn, these guys don't even have their own. They got to check water.
So invest in agriculture.
Is that what you guys are saying?
Yeah, well, I always say
this. Okay.
I'll tell you to invest. These are the things I always tell people. You invest in it. These three areas, always. I don't care what it is in these three, but you got to invest in it. Food, shelter, clothing. You make money in all three of those because everybody got to have them. Everybody got to have those. So it's like if you invest in clothing, that's fine. I don't care if it's shoes, dresses, whatever, purses, whatever. You know, the girls can't wait to get their Louis Vuitton. So you think about that. You're like, okay, you guys got to have that Fendi. Let me go ahead and get that cheese for that. Go ahead and buy that Fendi. I don't mind. Go ahead.
In that Easter suit everybody has on today.
Yeah.
As far as clothing is concerned, I want to chime in. Cotton and plastics are very important right now in the clothing industry, and that's going up a lot because the price of cotton is going up, and plastics. They include a lot of plastics to expand and stretch the clothing, so that's included in that business. So a lot of people don't realize where plastic goes. And a lot of different things. There's even plastic that goes in food, but I'm not gonna go there.
Nikes and all this stuff walking around it.
Hey guys, I got another thing, which I don't mean to take it under morbid, but I was saying earlier in the chat room, people will always need food, which is why I told T-Smita to invest in Nico's cornbread, because people are always going to be hungry. People will spend their money on food before they spend money on porn, so keep that in mind, T-Smita. But also, people will always have a need. You will always have a need to bury your dead or to cremate them. So I have a feeling that funeral homes are probably recession-proof. I mean, if you offer a deal where people can, you get a reduced price, you put a down payment on the casket, I mean, you could make a lot of money.
I don't know.
It's very morbid,
I don't know, babe. Maybe for right now, but if you think about the future, when people's money is going to be falling apart, they're going to start just digging ditches and burying them themselves.
They already got caskets. For your body already.
Let me stick to the faithful, three core. I'm just thinking food, shelter, and clothing. Everything else, okay, y'all could ask it if you wanted, but I'm going to stick with those three.
Hey, so, you know what? Hey, I ain't going to lie. My mom and dad already said they're going to take my $400 and put me in a burlap sack and throw me in Alabama River.
You ain't going to get a picture of that. You in the soldier. They're going to give you a burial of the U.S. service and throw a flag on you. They're dropping you in. You good.
Hey, my mom is fucking that money. Hey, my mom will buy a fur coat head in my Japan. I'm playing. But, you know, one thing I thought about y'all talking. You know, I miss part of the show. But one thing I've noticed, now I'm not the business connoisseur like you guys are. I'm actually learning a lot in management class on taking for my major. It's like, one, it's control that really matters. I look at it like a lot of the industries that we popping money into, like weeds, rims, clothing.
Mm-hmm.
We have no control in that. And it's like, let's use the weed for example. I'm not picking on the ladies. But you got these beauticians that using these folks' weeds from these other countries. I'm like, why can't we find somebody black that uses the hair weed industry and pop it into our shops? Someone has some kind of control. And some of you guys be smarter than me on that. It's just an observation from the outside.
Well, to me, I mean, that's an accessory to clothing. To me, that's what I consider it. Because, I mean, you either get a synthetic or you get it the real stuff. But those people are, that's primarily coming from India, I think it is, right? It's primarily coming from
India. Malaysia.
Yeah, and then the ones who are working closely with them are the Asians, which would be the Japanese, the Chinese, and Koreans. Because I've seen them actually opening up markets up in Africa. So they're going over and they're doing shows in Africa and stuff like that to get the women in Africa to do it. And we're just buying it all up. But the thing about it is we don't have the mentality a lot of – we have the capability, but we don't have the thinking of going ahead and saying, well, why don't we own these? I mean, it's again, that consumer-driven thinking. You know what I mean? It's not the investment thinking. You know what I mean? We got to get to an investment mindset. If we're going to be wealthy and expand and do things that we want to do, we're going to have to start taking over stuff. And the only way we're going to do that is actually control our spending habits and control our thoughts and invest. If we don't do that, we're dead in the water. I mean, that's just something that Dr. Claude Anderson was talking about. We better take over industries that we're going to be wishing that we did.
Which is why I believe we need to create some sort of a communal fund. But black people, we really need to start trusting each other. Because, I mean, we trust everybody else to, you know, get us involved in X, Y, and Z. And what? Do they understand our struggle? Do they understand where we're coming from? Why not trust each other and work together so that we can bring each and every one of us into a social upward mobility?
I wish that could happen. You guys tell me how you guys think that's going to happen, because that's something
We teach or talk to the kids and the teenagers about it. You got teenagers saying, we can't even do that as a family, let alone the people. Because, you know, you hear some other ethnicities talk about Mexicans, all of them in the car, all of them live in the house. But you let your mother, auntie, say, girl, can I stay for the weekend? They want to know when you leaving. We can't even live together as a family, let alone that. Come on.
You know what?
Well, I agree with everybody saying on the panel, we do need to learn how to cook. But what you guys suggest, what would be the thing? Well, we can't even get along. Some of us ain't even talked to family members in 10 or 15 years and don't even know why we're not speaking.
Shonda?
Hey.
Yes.
I got to run, but can I say something? I'm about to run and stuff. I got to type in the paper up. First, young lady, she was speaking. What's your name again?
Miko.
Okay, what you were saying got me thinking. One, like, when you talk about the businesses, one, black people got to understand, there's a hookup that we can have. One, if we own our own businesses, support our own businesses, maybe that some of these brothers that get out of jail and these felonies, if you still have the business up, that, hey, we could probably hire you, get you that job that you need.
Exactly. Yes.
But you can't do that without support. Because they always say the white man gets it. Yeah, because the white man has business support, he can hire people that look like him. Well, you're talking what you're talking about. Sometimes, I hate to be mean on this, you got to trim the fat sometimes. And like, at the same time, like, when I've been overseas, the girls, they stay at home till they get married. These families, they stay together for years. There's no stigma on you're a loser. You stay home with your mom and daddy. And what they show, they build their finance. Because when I was in Japan, these girls, they will stay home with their parents, building their money.
Yep.
And their parents
didn't
want them to move until they're part of the company and they're established themselves because there's a little sense of legacy that we don't have in our community. If somebody lost their job, right, do you think they're going to jump off a building? They're like, nah, man, white man will give me my check. In the other community, they're going to jump off a building. They're going to be cutting yards. And my last thing is, if we thought it was working to the drug trade, how come we can't do landscaping ourselves our own damn neighborhood? You know?
We can't. The problem is people are, the problem is looking good. It's too much looking good. Looking good doesn't do you nothing. I mean, look, looks fade. I don't care what you are. They're going to fade. Okay,
the gators
you're wearing this year are going to fade 10 years later, okay, unless they bring them back, which is probably not going to happen, okay? I don't see nobody walking around in no platform shoes right now. Do you see anybody in no platform shoes? So that stuff is going to go, okay? Forget about all that. But what we can do is we need to find people who are on the same page and we work with them. If it's not your family members, then that's fine. You can have an investment family. That's not your immediate family. So
That'll work.
You can set up an investment family. You guys work and y'all get it. And that's your goal. Y'all focus on that. Now, believe me, though, all I'm going to tell you is if the family who didn't want to work with you, which is your problem, your family, your blood family, they're going to definitely want to talk to you, though, when they see that cheese coming in. So just for all that, okay, because I tell this to everybody. I don't know how many times I've seen this happen. Oh, they didn't want to help out with all of this stuff, but then all of a sudden you rolling in with the Benzo, you rolling in with the Audi, you rolling in, wait, what's good? How you doing?
Audi.
Cuz, can I get a grand? Cuz, can I get this? And I'm like, no, because you can't, and don't be afraid to say no. Say, look, if you want to go ahead and get this, then come on in and help us with it. If you don't want to help us with it, then you ain't getting it. Okay, we got to give them. Oh, I'm going to get out the way. Nika about to hit it.
I'm sorry. You know, another thing is, like, from the last show, remember we were talking about, the educational system. If we're going to start building up for our future now, what we need to do is we need to build our own private schools. I don't know if anybody's listening to me out here. We need to invest in building our own private schools so that we can educate our youth with the information that they need to know in order to be successful for the future. Because if we wait until they get to college, they've already been taken into totally different direction than they're supposed to be, because nobody educates them in the way that they need to be in order to be successful, because all they want us to do is to be laborers and not to be leaders.
That's exactly
and Miko, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of Finance Park, J.A. Finance Park?
I've heard of it, but I'm not exactly sure of everything that it's an entail.
Because I like what you said. I prefer we as, and I don't want to make this a racial thing, but we're so far behind. We need, as you said, more African Americans invest, because JA Finance gets the kids at middle school and high school and teach them. They give them money. They show them banks. They give them their name, their job description, and how much they give them bills. And they show them how to finance. They give them money to invest. You know, so you have more kids talking to their parents now about finance, but it's harder in the black community where they're trying to reach. And they'll actually come to your school if you ask them to come. But it's called Finance Park. They have a website, www.jorg.com, and that's what they do. But the main ones on top are the Asians and the Caucasian kids. Some Latinos, it was a handful of blacks in there, black students, you know, in there that had no idea, none. But you had a little African-American boy said, he 13, like, I'm looking different now. Now I understand what my dad didn't want to give me. $150 to buy the Michael Jordans. Now I understand why my dad didn't want to give me $75 for a pair of jeans. So it's
there
making these kids think.
Yeah,
you know,
because
really
money
think.
Don't grow on trees. Despite everybody, what everybody said, it don't grow on trees, yo.
Hey, my grandmother said, do I look like I chew paper and shit dollars?
I'm actually waiting for my thing to get set up. But you know one thing, though? I would say this. I grew up, my parents bought me everything, but also they taught me about hard work as well. These people ain't teaching these kids about hard work. And when it
That's
comes
true.
To education, the thing is, one, black folks probably got to leave their hometown. Let's just be real. There's a whole world up there to build and stuff like that, a whole country to build. Everybody came and built in Atlanta. There's Arizona,
no.
There's parts of California, there's parts of Denver, Colorado, all kind of untapped places. But the thing is, what's about teaching? See, that's a fundamental flaw with teaching on all ethnic groups. They teach memorization, not independent learning. And and that's the thing, because with private schools as well, it's like, we got a private school in my hometown, St. Jude. And but the thing is, you got to make sure those schools are funded and all that, and they got to be supportive of people. I remember when I was deployed. Soul had his blood challenge. I was deployed then. And I didn't hear about it after he pretty got pissed because no one sent him 10 bucks each, because 10 bucks is like buying a drink at the bar, you know. And, And my last thing is, sometimes you can't help have your parents help you out, because, like, Platinum know this good, because my parents is happy getting a job because of the times they grew up in. I mean, my sister talks about that. Because she wants to, she's a corporate American making great, but she hates it. And that she talked about, she's getting her stuff together so she can open up a line, an online store selling wholesale baby clothing. And so, like, she could build for her family, like, have people, like, in a family that could help out, that got talented younger people. But she said she ain't even told mom and dad. I'm the only one in the family she told. Because she felt like, because of the mindset they grew up with, that they may be against it, because they. And they'd be like, oh, but you know, I told her, hey, don't look at mom and dad bad. They just kind of grew up in, and we grew up in Montgomery, Alabama. So you already know the challenges then. So I wouldn't look at them as being like, hey, they're wrong. But sometimes you can't include everybody in everything.
Nope.
But, you know, it's sad that so much we owned in the beginning, and you look back in slavery to now that we have nothing to show for. You look at how your forefathers, your grandmothers and things before then. And they would be so disappointed, because we have truly got away from the beliefs. And then they ain't put in the chat room and shout out to Self-Guided and Lord Euros and Nat Turner who putting it down. Because the thing is, they were saying the big mamas in Ukraine, they held on to their money. And that's my father probably still had the first dollar he ever made. Never believed in banks, like I said before, never. Everything he is paid for. He was like, I don't need two or three cars. I got one ass to sit down. But it's paid for. He just always said it never makes sense to have, because you can't drive them at the same time. And it's showboat. And he was like, until we get away from showboat, we're never going to have nothing. Nothing.
Exactly.
You know, and he owned his own land.
It's up to me's line, because she just had a hint. I'm sorry to cut in, but just wanted to let her know so she can jump in, because she's been listening for quite a while.
I'm agreeing with everybody. It all starts in the home
yes.
at a young age and quit buying dumb stuff. I have seen it all, as I put in the chat room. I got family members that got it. They got the paper. My grandfather, when he was alive, rest in peace, he was like the black godfather. And I was a little girl, I remember him sitting at the head of the table, and people at the family that needed money, they would wait in line. And he would sit down, and that man kept cash on him, y'all. I was just like, to me, he was like a human bank. And he would say, okay, I'm going to loan you this money, but you're going to pay this money back to me in interest. And you're going to pay it back to me at such and such a time. Now, I also have family members that are generationally on welfare. They start off on welfare, and when the kids get old and they can't get no more checks, then they play crazy and they go to SSI and get them a crazy check. No, they damn lying, scheming. Okay, credit is all jacked up. Any parents that are listening, do not go to no place like Rent-A-Center and be putting no damn furniture and these damn TVs in your children's names.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Phones in your children's names, using your children's Social Security, because you are messing up their credit before these children even grow up and get a chance to understand what credit is about.
Yep.
And
that's
the
right,
women and my family, y'all, this is church for me. I'm just going to put all my business out here.
Oh, Lord.
So y'all listen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell y'all, I come from a long line of women that are spenders. No one sat me down as a little girl and told me the value of a dollar. These women shop till they damn dropped.
Yep.
I mean, I thought credit cards were just like, you know, it's something that everybody had. Put it on credit, put it on credit. And the lying and the scheming that went on because they did not tell their husbands. And, you know, buying stuff and hiding stuff from their husbands. And, you
yep.
know, you create nothing but generational debt. When you are gone, this is what you pass on.
Yeah.
So this is the type of stuff that's got to stop, Matt. We're in a new day. At my job, there is no more overtime. I used to be able to rely on it. That is all gone. So you got to buckle down. You got to look around. You need to make some extra cash. If you got a whole closet full of clothes, you need to go in there. They still got tags on them. You need to take them to a consignment shop, make you some money.
Exactly.
You better start cooking at home. You better leave Starbucks alone. You better start doing your own hair, doing your own nails, doing your own damn
feet.
I'm letting y'all know. It is stupid. We have got to stop and see. They know we women are emotional. And what our eyes see, they know we want
it.
They send these damn catalogs home. We get caught up. They say, well, you can get this credit card. You buy it now, and then 6 months from now, you can pay it off. Y'all have been caught up in the mess, and I'm telling y'all.
And let me say this. How many women, and I'm so glad you said it is a generation, because I remember watching my mother. My mother had 12 credit cards. My father didn't know about none because my father don't believe in them. And he kept saying, I'm sick of living in California. We got land. My father saved money, built it from scratch. That's where they live in. My mother, after her job went out, my mother worked for Magnavox for 30 years. My mother was still charging. My dad said, how the hell you charge with no job? She was charging, putting stuff in the trunk of the car. Is your dad at home? She would hide it in the closet. My mother had two closets. A room had to get built. For another, and my daddy found out, took all her credit. It was the biggest fight where I thought they were going to divorce after almost 50 years. He cut up every damn credit card.
Yeah.
When I tell you World War III was going to break down, my father said, I'll be dead. My mother was like, well, if I'm dead, I can't pay for it. Let me enjoy it. My dad said, that's the stupid way. That was their biggest argument. Everything was money because my mother liked to charge.
Shonda, when I meet your dad, I'm going to shake his hand.
I'm telling you,
my father don't joke when it comes to money.
That's one of the things that cause people to break up, money and then sex. But money, man, money make this globe go round, baby. And if you ain't got it, you frustrated, you're angry, you get angry at yourself because you done bought some damn bubble gum, candy brain bullshit. Ain't got nothing
That's
to
true.
Show for it. Nothing.
But then where do we break the cycle? Because, I mean, you ladies on the phone and guys, you know, if your girlfriends or wives ain't doing it, but it's sad that we teach our kids instead of teaching them the value of a dollar. You see mothers taking a 3-4-year-old to the beauty, getting their nails, feet done, hair done at 3 or 4 years old.
And okay.
Where do we break the cycle? Shonda, Shonda, here's how we break the cycle. First of all, everybody at the sound of the Haitian Abomination's voice, purchase the book, The Richest Man in Babylon. It's an easy read. It's not the gospel when it comes to money, but it has some very basic principles that are over 8,000 years old and have been working for the ancient Babylonians and still work today. First thing first, 10% of your money, you save it, you put it in an account, in a savings account where it accrues interest, and you use it for investment. You don't use it to buy things. You don't use it to just for spending, for flashing. If you're going to buy stuff with it, buy stuff to start a company or something that's going to generate money. Also,
exactly.
Be wise in how you spend your money. I mean, it has to start at the individual level, especially for the youth that are listening. It's all about be wise with how you spend your money. And for my Christians out there, especially those who are celebrating resurrection, or some of you still say Easter, think about this. Those of you who go to tithe at church, the concept of tithing is you give back to God a portion of what he's allowed you to have for stewardship. What's a better way to honor God than to wisely manage those resources he's allowed you to have while you're on mm-hmm. earth? That's food for thought for my religious folks. And as far
you
as what Lisa said regarding letting go of Starbucks, about letting go of Starbucks, instead of spending all that money on Starbucks, if you guys still want some good coffee, I'm going to give a shameless plug to my cousin Reginald. He has his website, itiahcoffee.com, where you can get some Haitian coffee, a black owned. You can get some good Haitian coffee. It's a very good price. And one-fifth of the proceeds will go towards helping send children who are victims of the earthquake in Haiti, sending them to school. That's a good investment.
Okay,
but I digress. I'm a shameless plug.
Shonda.
Yes. Yes.
Now, as far as breaking the cycle, we need to take it down to the level we need to talk about. Why are we buying these things in the first place? And the reason we're buying these things is because of emotional issues that we have deeply seated in ourselves that we don't deal with. And two, putting up a personification of something that we're not in order to foster a relationship with people because we're so in on image. You know, I have to say this, you know, because my show is based on relationships. And, you know, and this is and everything's interconnected, you know. When you have bad emotional issues, bad emotional problems, self-image that's damaged, and you're building relationships and friendships based on things that you buy, trying to build an image, a persona, this is where all these bad choices are connected to as far as your money is concerned. Why do we buy this flashy car? Why do we get this new hair, these nails, this everything to try to impress people? And what we really need to be impressed with, this is what we need to do, is change what we're impressed with. We need to be impressed with your knowledge, who you are as a person, what you can offer to help, you know, build up your community, not what your hair looks like, not what you drive, not what's going on. And until we change those aspects about ourselves, we won't be able to break the cycle.
And,
you know,
Lord,
what?
Yours put money ain't the problem. We the problem, and I agree.
It's management.
I
money.
So
you
agree
know,
with
Shonda,
that.
You yeah. know what? The thing is, it's me. Hey, you know, I listen to everybody talk. Now, since Don brought the kids into it, I'll buy the freaking coffee now. But anyway, this part of the problem here.
ITAHcoffee.com.
All right. Long-range thinking. That's the problem. It's okay to have nice things, black people, but you don't have to have all everything that comes out. It's like MTV Cribs has been a worst program for people. Because those
mm-hmm.
athletes be broke 17 years after retirement. Because Manny Ramirez, baseball player, he quit now, he's a drug addict, but who cares? He got $200 million. He never owned a house. He was in L.A. and Boston. He always lived in, like, little rented apartments or stayed in hotels. But you see all these guys buying all these big homes, buying these cars to put the cold kid on it. Guess what, people? You can't sell them. And then my last thing is this. Kid, make sure your credit's right, because these jobs are doing credit checks. Hell, even the military do credit checks. They did one when I came in 9 years ago.
So y'all might want to get your credit right, because, like I said, these jobs ain't hiring. You got bad credit.
Yes.
Because you couldn't get a security clearance. And the military, no security clearance, you're useless.
But, T. Smitty, let's make that clear. When you say it's okay to have nice things if you can afford it.
Yeah,
you can't have, but you can't have crystal dreams on beer money, and that's what so much of us do. You just
perfect
can't.
Perfect example for me. I drove a Ford. My first car was an 88 Corvette school, I was in your high school. First day I had that damn car broke down. All right. All right. But my second car was a 98 Ford Escort. Damn, I'm old. Back when gas was a dollar a gallon, the good old days. If I had that car for 10 years, I dated a chick that clowned me. Because I had that car. But she had like a 2000 brand new Apollo 20, but it had furniture in the house. You know, couldn't fit no boxes. But when I bought my new Altima in 2008, I got approved for $45,000. My car cost me $18,000. You know, but if you approve that much money, people, you don't have to buy that much of a car. Or if you approve this much of a, if you approve $500,000 home, you don't have to buy a $500,000 home. And then the thing is, as well, you're talking about your neighborhood. You know, from Alabama, you know, some of those neighborhoods that was at the hood now were really nice neighborhoods when we were kids. The problem is we don't police those neighborhoods to keep that value up in those homes.
Yes.
And let me say this, because I like what It's Up to Me put in a chat. She put, can anyone here imagine going a whole year without buying anything new to see how much you would save, or maybe try? Try for 30 days.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. 30 days.
I just put the article there.
I challenge your listeners, the 30 days, don't buy nothing new for 30 days. Can you do it? I'm not talking necessity if y'all need toilet tissue. I'm speaking clothes, jewelry. As Miko said, hair, nails, do it yourself. Who said that? Start doing your hair.
Article.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys something. Let me say something about that. You'd be surprised you don't have the investment capital to invest. Do exactly what you said and watch where it comes from. It'll pop right on out of there like you never thought you had the money. It's right there. You just shut down the discipline. Just use, exercise that discipline. Put that money aside instead of always throwing it out. You'd be amazed how much money's in there. You're like, what? I got like an extra 10 grand out of nowhere. Exactly.
And let me say this. And to the people that's listening, let me say this, because I've asked this before, to pay yourself first. Like, Don, how can you not pay yourself first? How can you not? But some women think paying their self is when they get their hair and nails done. No, go to the bank, put it to the side if you have a savings, whatever. I don't think checking count, but I like what they said, investing is the thing. And I'm with, was it Soul in Black that said in currency and trade? Find out something, the best thing to invest in. I would say that we do that, but for some reason, black folks are scared. Because when I ask that, oh, no, it's too bad right now, the recession, they don't want to invest.
That's not true. That is not true. People are making money. I just uploaded a video not long ago. I had a clip that I took from Candy Spelling. You know Aaron Spelling, who wrote the, I don't know if you guys remember the Mod Squad, the Love Boat, Dynasty, all those particular
Charlie
TV
Angel.
Shows.
902
and I don't know if he did that one, but anyway, I know he did a bunch of them. Anyway, Aaron Spelling made a big bucks. This dude, his wife, Candy Spelling, is selling her house that he has. It's 52,000 square feet. 52,000 square feet, okay? I just want you to think about that. That's like having a mall of your own. That's his home. $150 million, and this is what she said at the end of the interview with dealing with the broadcaster. She was saying that she can take all kinds of prices. She can reduce the price for it. She said all kinds of people want to buy it from her. But she said this, my husband doesn't have to worry about it the way he did it because he doesn't believe in mortgages, and he never, ever bought this house with a mortgage. He paid for it right off the jump. And she's sitting on $150 million, whether she does anything or not. She don't have to worry about what the economy does. She has to worry about stress of income or interest rates and that stuff. And she's getting offers. People offered her a Gulfstream and all kinds of crazy stuff to get the doggone thing. Stock options, all kinds of stuff. Stuff is still going on. People are investing and still making money. As a matter of fact, investors are doing, they're shopping. I'm shopping. I'm an investor. I'm shopping all day long. I'm still spending money. But the thing about it is, you know, people are like, oh, no, it's not a good time. This is the best time to do it.
I agree.
Got pooches here.
Even
and
the
then I'm like,
see?
Lord, yours put in the chat room, pay your credit cards weekly. If you guys can do that, that's not a bad idea. The quicker pay it off, but he suggests to pay your credit cards weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pay off.
And we have people in the chat room that's game with not buying nothing new also.
Oh, well, don't buy anything new. Yeah. Put yourself on, consider yourself in a deep recession. You can't afford nothing new. So just think like that. I can't afford nothing. I can't afford nothing. I'm broke. And really mean that. I'm broke. Because you probably are anyway. You know,
yeah.
This is real talk because people think that they got money. And I'm like, well, shoot, if you actually calculate. I love what you said about your grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
How that went down. Because this is what I used as a criteria when I was dating with various sisters. This one sister, she's an underwriter, believe it or not. I did her assessment of her income, I mean, what she had available, and she wanted to stay dating. I was like, I can't, you know, she's talking about marriage. I said, I can't marry you. Why not? You owe $1.5 million worth of debt.
And if you marry her, you will take that on, and that
exactly.
is very important.
Exactly.
And because, you know, if we are going to be the women that you all want us to marry, okay, we're going to be the ones that are doing the majority of the purchasing, the clothes. When the checks come, you sit down, you tell your husband, he sits down with you, okay, what is the budget for groceries? And, I mean, this is it. And no more. We're not going out to eat. You want entertainment? Guess what, folks? Remember the library? They got DVDs there. They got books there. You get outside. You go to the park. This is the stuff that our foreparents did. There was no connect. There was no, cable. I mean, they got it in, and we were fine. We were fine. We think about it.
Exactly.
Our childhood. We were fine. We didn't have all the stuff that these kids have now, these damn video games. Look how fat these children are. They don't. They can play video games and play football, but you get
them outside,
they don't
know what to do. They don't go out and play no more and exercise. They don't go out like we did coming up, went outside and play. And run around. They don't do that anymore. But I like Prophet Cheryl put, know the difference between your needs and your wants. That's another thing, too.
Yeah, well, still.
People have to understand.
Yeah,
and let me say this, because
they will find a way to make a want a need. Trust me on that.
Please let them know this, because I'm not sure if it was Miko or it's up to me, the other young lady on the line, is that by us being emotional as women, because I just received another tweet, it's not good to put your wedding on a credit card.
That's right.
No.
And I'm telling you, I did it. I'm telling y'all, I did it. I did it.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, I'm being real.
Shonda,
I'm going to
tell you something.
I will not marry a sister who's got that on her mind. She got credit on her mind. I am not interested. Thank you.
Let me tell you something.
I'm not mad at you.
Go ahead.
I'm a freelance event planner, so I have actually planned some weddings, and you would be surprised how many people put themselves into crazy amounts of debt. I try to do the best I can to try to keep things at a low cost for a lot of people, because I'm saying it needs to be a special day, but it doesn't need to be a special day in which the bills follow you for the next 10 years. And, you know, I'm about making my money and all that, but at the end of the day, I want people to be happy, you know, and nobody can be happy with debt hanging over their head. You know, like the lady who was speaking on the line just previously said, you know, and I said it too on my show, money and sex, those are two things that will bring people apart faster than you can say cat in the hat. And, you know, when you have something like this hanging over your head, that's like a student loan, you know. Most times these days, a wedding, most weddings, and I would be called sort of low end, because most of the stuff that I plan is for between $25,000-$30,000, and most people are spending somewhere in between 29 and around 50,000-60,000. Most people for the wedding.
For one day.
So
what?
Okay.
This is what I'm talking about. This is the mathematics here. I'm like, that's somebody's salary I just flushed.
I'm going to shock you guys. I'm going to shock you guys because my wife said, go ahead, tell you guys. I think I mentioned it in the previous show, but I'll mention it again. We spent, I think, at total, it all came to about maybe $16,000. And by the time our wedding day was over, it was pretty much all paid off. The next big debt my wife and I had, it happened shortly after we got married when a major hailstorm damaged the whole area and we had to, like, get a new carport and awning. That's when we had to, you know, get another major debt, you know, about maybe like $5,000. That's already been paid off. So there is no reason why you should got to pay off a wedding for 5-10 years when you could. Let me open up her line. She'll speak more on it. All right, honey, okay. Your line is open. Go ahead.
That's the reason why I think so many marriages don't work, because you going into a marriage in debt. You put $30,000 on a credit.
Wait, the wife is coming off.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you what Don said, that it was a really good way for us to enjoy our wedding. We didn't know anyone. And we got cash gifts. We set up a separate account for that. We were able to travel, and we're planning to do some more travel. But it's really nice to know that you don't have to look at the person, you know, on your honeymoon and say, I can't stand you because, you know what, I'm like
$10,000
in debt, and, you know, this is how are we going to pay for this? So,
One of the things I'd like to say also
is that when you're dating a person, someone had said earlier that he ended a relationship with someone because he basically could not afford her, which is good. That's the wise thing to do. But I think, you know, that's one of the conversations you need to have with someone that you're considering marrying, is you have to be honest. You have to be honest not just in terms of your sexual history or your health history or whatever, your relationship, but your finances too. You don't want to marry someone and discover that they're like $40,000, $50,000 in debt, student loan debt, or whatever. And, you know, I told Don before we got married, I did a background check on him. I'm serious, for single women especially, do one on yourself just to see what comes up. But definitely do one for someone you're dating, because if he was previously married or even she was previously married, you need to know if they're paying child support, if they owe child support. Because, you know, when it comes tax time, you're married and then you decide to file jointly and you're used to getting a nice refund, but now all of a sudden it's going to his ex-wife and their kids.
Amen. I tell women all that all the time. Check his credit. Another show.
That's important. The ladies can check my credit and not find nothing there because I don't use credit. But the one thing though is because I don't use credit, I'm very keen about mathematics and the numbers. Those numbers are very vital to me, and I know that you're stepping into. I mean, when you start, just think about it. People are generally going to go to college, get a student loan. So that's a debt incurred, okay? They got to have a car. That's a debt incurred. They got a house that they're trying to live in or a condo. That's a debt incurred. You start adding all that stuff up by the time, and then you got the little frivolous stuff with the credit cards and all that other stuff, plus the interest rates and all that. Once you start figuring all that stuff, you're like, woo, girl, I can't touch you. You hot. You smoking. I can't mess with you. And so it's like, you know, we have to start thinking about our future. And I am amazed, and that's what I teach me talking, we're not thinking long term. Because why in the world are you going to step into a marriage, and you guys, before you guys even get started, you guys are looking at, you know, $1 million worth of debt or something. How are you guys going to build a nest egg? What kind of nest egg? You got to climb out of the hole first. You got to climb out of the hole first before you can even think about it. What about your kids in 20 years? Are you going to be able to get that done in 20 years? Are you going
to
be able to pull stuff out?
Left the debt to the kids, too.
This is not being talked about.
Oh, you're going to be a lonely motherfucker living in the world.
You know, people want to get up
a lonely motherfucker living in the world. Half the people in society got that debt.
Hey, guys, what you just said about the student loan debt, this is one reason we have to have Negroes stop this crap about calling someone acting white and, you know,
denying their blackness if they're doing good academically. Because you know what? Those who excel academically, not all, because those scholarships may not be easy to come by, but someone who does very well academically can have the chance to get those scholarships and graduate debt-free, so that way that saves you a whole hell of a lot of hassle. Now,
I'd rather act white than live broke.
Act white rather than live broke. Because look, when I was in college, my parents had to pay my college, my undergrad, because as a foreigner, I was not eligible for all the academic scholarships because you had to be an American resident. But when I went to grad school, you best believe I would have not been able to go where I went if I had not gotten a full ride. And it's not to brag, but it's just to say I put in a lot of hard work so it would pay off. So by the time I met my wife, I had zero debt. I had zero student loan debt. The credit card debt I had already. By the time we got married, I had already paid it off, and that was from buying furniture when I moved to my apartment on my own prior to meeting her. So this is one thing to the youth, especially. Don't care what people call. They call you a nerd. They call you acting white. They say you're faking the fun. You're not black enough. Don't give a damn, because you know why? When you're working hard to get those grades so you can get that scholarship, that's going to save you hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt later.
Yep.
Now, Miko and Sol, if I'm wrong, do correct me on that one.
Oh, no, you're not wrong.
You're right on.
I get scholarships too, so like I totally understand. I've only, on my transcripts, I've only got 2 C pluses. Everything else is A minus, A plus. So I try to keep my grades very, very high in order to be eligible for as many scholarships as possible. And the thing of the matter is another thing that parents need to teach them is as they're working and going to school, that they need to take some of that money and save it aside and put it towards a student loan, you know, and even if it's deferred, start saving that money up instead of, you know, spending it all on clothes and hair and a car and all that kind of stuff. They could be saving that money up and have half of that student loan paid off by the time they get out of college instead of, you know, having that hanging over their heads.
Yes, because corporate America will use that against you, believe it or not. As T. Smitty was talking about, they're checking your credit scores, so if they know what's going on, they also, when they check the credit scores, they also know what your debt load is. So, and if they know what your debt load is, they can basically set you up in a position to offer you salaries that are more beneficial to them as compared to beneficial to you. So you have to think about those particular things. You know, those things are very vital. And what the other sister said about Rent-A-Center, y'all better slow down on Rent-A-Center. Stop with that. Rent-A-Center stuff. What the heck? That's the biggest ripoff I've ever seen. I mean, they get over big time. I mean, open up a Rent-A-Center.
This is from personal experience. This is what my mother did and got herself a little account. And my sister's name, my sister was not even 7 at the time.
Why do black folks do that? Put stuff in their kids' name. Why do we do that?
Because that's their responsibility.
I told my dad, you got to check baby sister's credit. I said, because, you know, her mama just done messed it up, man. Her mama, because her credit is tore up. So now, you know. People are so fixated on things. We want what we want, and we want it right now. It's all about self-discipline.
Have you noticed also, the young lady was talking about Rent-A-Center, is that because when you are not able to delay your gratification, you wind up paying more for it because the interest rates they charge you is ridiculous. Along with the same day, the payday loans and the loans you can get based off of you having your car title. And if you notice, look at the commercials. It's always someone really desperate, you know, who needs money right away. And for what? You know, it's the same thing and it's the same thing when it comes time to get your tax refund. They always play on you need the money right away. Whereas if you're smart, you would put away with every paycheck. If you just save $20, $10, or whatever, like someone said, don't buy lunch, make your own food, and take whatever money you would spend, that $7, $10 on a salad or whatever, and just save it. You would have, over the course of a year, your emergency fund, because we all should have it. Things happen.
Yes.
So you're not
true.
A victim. You're not, you know, at the mercy of these people who are trying to say, oh, yeah, I'll give you a loan, but it's going to cost you, like, you know, 80%. It's going to cost you 100%, 300%, or something like that, because they play on your desperation and your lack of discipline.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mamiko, until we learn self-discipline and get out of that, do you know how many parents that I work around kids had their income tax check in before they got it? They ain't got it yet. But they already knew they were going to spend it on.
Yes. Yes, and I discourage people who, especially people who I work with at the restaurant, I tell them, please, don't go to H&R Block, don't get Rapid Refund. They're scamming you out of your money, and then you spending this money up too fast. You really need that time. You need that month to wait for the money to come back so you can assess your bills. See what you need to pay off. Pay off your debt. I know you have it because ain't nobody making any big amount of money here at the restaurant. Everybody making $5 an hour plus tips. Yeah, I know you're in debt. So you need to sit down and see what it is that you need to put your money towards and not end it on
debt. It's absolutely ridiculous for anyone to go to H&R Block or wherever to get a 1040 EZ done. That's basic math. That is anybody in America. If you have a GED, at least if you can add and subtract, you could do a 1040 EZ. You don't need to pay someone $100, $200 to do that.
You can do both.
And it takes most of your refund anyway.
Yes, it does. And then when you go to the Rapid Refund, that's a loan, by the way. I don't know if people understand that, but a lot of those Rapid Refunds are actual loans, and you're paying interest rates on that. So you're paying interest rate on a loan for your own money? Are you kidding me?
This is
the craziest stuff that they do. I'm like, wow, and people buy it up. They just chew it up because
every year.
I mean, these guys are making billions of dollars. Just the money's just raking in. What's the problem? I would do it too. Shoot, if y'all can't keep coming back here like was it the grand man or the man in the house? Everybody would come to me at a line of the people coming up and giving out.
Yeah. Okay. Grandpa was Grandpa was getting it in.
Grandpa was banking, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
They do it out here in the street. They call it 50-50. If you give, if you borrow $20 from the dude, I used to watch this dude. He worked for me at my company. He was my supervisor. I mean, my foreman. And then every payday, I give him his check, and he would be like, I don't have any money. I'm like, you don't have any money? He's like, yeah, but I do have money. I said, what do you mean? He goes, these guys have all been borrowing from me through the week. You know what I mean? And they paid me. If they borrow $20, they owe me $40. They borrow $50, they owe me $100. That's how he's been doing it. He's been cranking it in. He's like, man,
ooh,
I'm
he
like,
is a
yeah.
He's going
cool.
over it.
It goes
up. It really
does.
It all
goes back to self-discipline, you know. But, you know, like I said, we want it instantaneously. We want it now. We don't want to wait, you know.
Yes.
We don't want to wait. I want it now. I want it now. Give it to me now. And bam, here we are.
Let's
you don't have nothing to show. And let's not even get on wills, you guys. Let's not even get on wills. Planning a will, estate planning. You know, let's not even get on that. How many of, you know, people are walking around here, you know, you got 6 children, but y'all not ready to get married. Y'all have purchased property, but y'all not ready to get married and you know, do no estate planning. Get a will so that your children will have something left from you should something happen to you. You know, you're going to live forever. You know, you're Superman, Superwoman, but, you know, we don't want to think about that.
Oh, they don't have no life insurance plan.
Exactly.
No life insurance, none of that
exactly.
stuff. I'm like, women, you guys got life insurance, you got all these debts, and you're going to die, and these poor kids are just stuck out in the wind. Okay, that's how you're going to do it, huh? Nah, that's not how that's why they keep talking. When you talk about the deficit, people better stop looking at the deficit and better look at themselves, too. Because whatever the United States government's doing, you can best believe the majority of American people are doing the same doggone thing. And we as black folks, we better stop it. We can't afford it.
We can't afford it. We got to fight against a lot of people who've been invested in building. You got the Chinese who are building up money. The Asians, all the Asians are building up money. The Latins are building up money. They're stacking 20 people in one house and stacking up that money. I'm like,
that's
here we
right.
are. Here we are. We sitting there talking about, oh, I got my own crib. I got this. I got all that. I'm like, okay, well, hey, I don't mind. But when the brother talked about, you know, staying home with your parents, because I'm Hebrew and that's how we do. You're supposed to stay home until you marry. You don't leave. You know, and in the meantime, while you're staying home until you marry, you get all that money stacked up. So you actually walk out with a benefit instead of, like, today,
yes.
people walking out with nothing. They got nothing.
Yes.
Or they're in a hole.
Yeah. You all notice.
Okay,
so
let me ask the panel this. Since you guys are talking, let me ask the panel this. Who would the men, or I ask the ladies that, because I think it's up to me putting in the chat room myself, got it. Would you guys get mad if you found out your significant other had a stash in the house? Would you guys get mad?
No.
Why? No? I wouldn't get mad if they got a stash in the house.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because they're saving money.
But you didn't know about it. That you didn't
know about it. I don't care if I didn't know about it.
If it's a stash for the family, it's one thing.
This is to the man.
If they're stashing as an exit plan like some women do, then, yeah, that would be a problem.
No, I would only be mad if we were falling apart, like, as a family, if we're still going to be a family unit and you're not trying to leave and we need the money to put everything back into perspective, yeah, that's the only reason to really get mad. But I think everybody should have their own separate stash of money, because at the end of the day, you're an individual, and at the end of the
exactly.
day, you know, the divorce rate is high, and at the end of the day, you're going to have to rebuild yourself. A lot of women, they come out at 45, 50 years old, and now they're single again, and what do they have? Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
And some of them have never worked. But
yeah.
the whole gist of this article was, I just posted it, was the husband was not good with money. And he always wanted to invest, but the investments never turned a profit. The wife, who was a dentist, opened up an account at the bank that he didn't know about, and I think she had amassed maybe $80,000, $100,000. And he went to the bank, and one of the bank tellers told him, well, you know, your wife has this account. Do you want to take money out of it? So
wait,
he had not known.
That's like a Tyler Perry movie.
He had not known. And this was real life. That got just posted the link, and there's more into it. So the thing was, he was upset and he was mad because he didn't know. And when the teller told him about the money, he took that money out of the account, and the wife sued the bank because she was like, this was my account. He was not to know about it, and you told him about it. So, see, this goes to another thing. Before you get married, setting down and understanding what your money style is, what has been your history, just like I explained to everybody my history of seeing how my parents dealt their relationship to money is. Mom was a big spender. Dad, he sits on money like it's Fort Knox, baby. It is not going to happen. You're not going to get it from him. That one credit card. Get mad credit card offers, y'all, gold card. I went into his bathroom. He had cut up the gold card. I stood and looked
That's
at the card
dad.
For about 10 minutes. He was like, Lisa, what's wrong? I said, Daddy, you cut up this card. He said, yeah, you only need one. I said, Daddy, do you know this is like the hottest card that you can get? The limit that you, he said, you only need one.
That's right.
And so
true.
You have to
That's
sit
true.
Down. You've got to sit down and talk about these things, just like Mrs. Calypso was saying. That money aspect, finances, all of this stuff goes into a good marriage. And, see, we don't talk about these things. And we get together, and then there's problems down the line. So
That's
this
true.
All plays into it, managing
I
your money.
I have to tell you this. When I got divorced, because I was married and I got divorced, and one of the things they told me was that my attorney said to me, he said, you seem to have a problem. I said, what's my problem? He says, your wife is financially immature. And I said, oh, well, that's true, because she did, like you talked about, we had joint accounts for a long time. She was living off my joint account. But I kept looking at that account. I'm like, where's this money going? Where's this money going? She's always buying these trinkets and all this other stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I'm stacking in money. I'm trying to stack up because I'm getting ready to buy a home for us. And she's like, wait a minute. You know, I just bought this and I bought that. And then I said, well, you know what you're going to have to do? Because I'm trying to get a home. You're going to have to go ahead and open up your own account. So she opened up her own account. Three times she overdrew, I took care of one and two. Number three, I was like, no, you got to take care of that yourself. And then no sooner than 3 months later, she opened up the account. In 3 months, that account was closed. And then we were sitting there going to get divorced, and the attorney told me, he said, you know what you got to do? You got to move your money and make it, you got to be poor. Because she's going to come out here and try to get all this money, and she's the one who's financially immature. We can look at her bank statements and see how she's handling business. It's like, I said, damn, no problem. I'm a black man. I could be poor. No problem. I'll be poor real quick.
In all honesty, we need to be signing some prenuptial agreements to protect ourselves. On both sides of the coin, I think you can come up with an agreement in which everyone can come out unscathed, something that's humane, but I don't think that anyone should live off of another person like some sort of a parasite, you know?
Well, this is how we're taught, right?
This is a little story that they tell us little girls, at least. That's what they told my generation. Well, you grow up and you marry a doctor, you marry a lawyer, you marry somebody rich who's going to take care of you. You see, they don't fill in the other gaps and they don't get real with you. And this is what we need to do.
Well, see, that's
because
the thing I was taught.
Failures.
We were taught, from my family, we were taught take care of each other. You take care of each other. You don't take care. I'm not just there to just take care of her, and she's not just there to take care of me. We're supposed to be taking care of each other because we together start the core of the family.
Exactly.
That's exactly how it goes. And see, if you think family, I mean, we still have to be individualized because I know we have to be realistic about the divorce rates. But you got to definitely talk about these people, you know, whoever you're dating, who you're dealing with, you got to make sure that they're on the same page. We are a team. If you ain't on a we team, then, there's no I in that team thing. So if you all about the I's, then I got to leave you alone because it ain't going to be nothing but trouble later on down the road. I got to be careful about that because if it's about I now, well, yeah, you slid off and got this little makeup job or this hair thing, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, we can't afford that right now. What are you doing? Yeah, I'm not trying to knock you, ladies. You got to have your thing, but dang, let's work together on that.
Listen,
you can't work
do
together.
Do that on your own money. Do that on your
exactly.
own money. I think it's pretty sad that with all these women, I hear them out here. Oh, he gave me some money to get my hair and my nails done. Why? You're that pathetic that you can't afford your own maintenance? I mean, it's pretty sad.
It is pretty sad because, I mean, I look at women who can actually handle their business. They can handle their business and work with us, you know, work with me. That's what I'm talking about. Other than that, I mean, now when you get to divorce, I'm not worried about, hey, does she get part of the money? Yes, she get part of the money. She helped me build the business. She helped me
exactly.
work on it. So she's worthy of that. I'm not going to take away from her what she's put her investment in. That's not – I can't do that. But when we got this draw off of me, then it's like, well, yo, you've been drawing off of me. And that's why I think a lot of men get to that point. Well, look, you've just been drawing off of me, and that's all it's going to be. And I'm not going to continue to feed you the rest of your life. You're a grown person.
Mm-hmm.
Handle your business. You know what I mean? So – you know, we just got to be, we got to go into it and think about it financially. We got to be real, really smart about it, and we got to be fair, too. So just think about it that way, and just stay away from trying to be having it now all the doggone time. God, everything
mm-hmm.
doesn't happen all now. I mean, you look at some of these people who are wealthy, they built that wealth over periods of years,
exactly.
and now they've got to a point where they've got it to where they have generations of wealth. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? I think it says in the Bible, a wise man takes care of his children's children, right? So if that's what we're supposed to be thinking,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if we're supposed to be thinking like that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be planning for our future. You have to think long term.
Exactly.
You're going to take care of your children's children. That's generation.
Exactly.
Okay, let me ask everybody this with 7 minutes left. What tips, again, because I have teenagers, they want, what tips would you give them to save or to invest? Mm-hmm. They want to know.
10% of every paycheck, 10% of the net pay, you put that away in a savings account, especially if you can do it. Yeah, you don't touch it. You only touch it if you're going to use it to make an investment or something towards a business, something that will bring you money. Preferably.
Don, can they have
those,
it set up that way for a teenager?
Yeah,
you know?
Direct deposit.
Okay.
When you have your bank account, like
no.
with your bank, you can split it like 10% goes to your savings. 90% goes to your checking, or
yeah.
you could even do a 30-70, or you can do like one to a regular savings account. You can do one to that, like those high interest, like ING accounts. You can set it whichever way you want. But
what I mean,
whatever
with a
money
teenager,
gets the savings,
set
don't
up
touch
where
it.
They can't touch it. I'm not talking direct deposit. I mean,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
okay, that's what I'm speaking
they
about.
Have
yeah, a certificate
they have
of deposit, I think.
They have with a certificate deposit. They have the 90-day CDs, 120-day CDs, or whatever CDs, and it basically blocks you off until you can actually, you know, you have to go through this time period. You have to request it, and then you got to wait the 90 days to go ahead and pull it out. So that's something you want to. You want to put yourself on some form of a governor, whatever it is. Put it on there and lock yourself out, so you just don't have to rush to get that money, because that's the key thing. We got to stop the rush.
That's
you know what I mean? Oh, I got to get it right now. Put the brakes on that. Pump your brakes. You know what I mean? It's like you need something in there to pump those brakes and slow things down. Another thing that they can possibly do is if they're going to use credit, okay, if they give you a $5,000 credit limit, you only can buy $1,000 worth of stuff out of that $5,000 credit limit, okay? Just think about it that way. Stop going to say, well, I can go all the way up to $5,000. Nope, you can't go all the way to $5,000. You can only
Thank
go to $1,000,
that.
Okay?
Thank
that's what you – that's it.
Another thing, you teenagers, you need to, and parents, you need. This is where you need to jump in. Once they get into the workforce, when they're like, if they get a first job at 16, and they're working, you need to start putting the things that they want on themselves. So that they don't think that they have all this extra money, because that's where they get this bad habit from. See, let them pay for their hair to get done, their nails to get done, pay for their cell phone, pay for their Wi-Fi internet, and then
that's
see
right.
how much is left after that, and then they will see, wait, you know what, bills come first. You know, I'm not going to be able to have all these different things that I need from month to month to maintain myself and still have, you know, $600 to go spend on Jordans and a leather jacket.
That's not going to happen. They're
going
to learn financial discipline. They're going to learn financial discipline quick. Oh, no, you can't do that. You know what I mean? You can forget about that. You know what I mean? But if they focus on just, you know, if they have to make them do a financial analysis, make them do a breakdown,
yes.
a budget, make them do that. Make them have to face that. Because if you make them face that, then they'll start to see that this
that's
is
true.
The real world. This is what you got to deal with. So,
and that's what Park Finance does. They does that. The J. Park Finance I was speaking to you about earlier in the show, that's exactly what they do and show the kids and give them a breakdown. And I'm glad you said that, Miko, but it's hard when your parents have bad spending habits. It's hard for them to teach a child. And then some parents think, well, I don't have the money here. Just have your own credit card instead of looking into the annual rates and the APRs, and that's just so important. Because to me, honestly, I don't think no child should have a credit card with no job.
No.
It makes no sense to me.
Nobody until 21 for credit.
Some kids 18 years old have a credit card. And let me say, you guys, please check out Four Aces tonight, Now Versus Then, where they're going to be examining the long careers of LL Cool J, Rakim, Cube, Dre. The start time is 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Y'all make sure y'all check it out. But go ahead, Miko, because I know little young girls, 16 to 17, with credit cards.
No, 21. After that, you've gained an idea. You know, you've worked for several years. You see how much your money can stretch, and you know how much you can realistically afford. And after that, if you want to screw things up, even though you have the idea of how much your money can afford and how much you can afford based on how much you make, then that's on you. That's pretty sad that you would take yourself there. But what we need to do as people is just put the brakes on this thing. If you're going to have a credit card, which I say no earlier than 21, but I think all of you need to live on a cash diet like myself. No credit cards.
And let me say this with 2 minutes, because we really going to have part two with the whole panel. I received an email from a young lady whose mother gave her a credit card. Some young ladies think they struggle. Some young men find out a girl have a credit card. She told me she put this boy a watch. She put him joints in order to like. See, this is another thing parents not talking. These little girls and these little boys got game, got your kid, and you paying for this little boy, Jordan's, his watch, his outfit, and she think he likes. because she charging for him. Now, see, my thing is, with a young boy with a credit card, you see if he gets your hair and nails done, whatever money you need on his credit card. Ain't gonna happen. So we do. It needs to be a part, because some of these young girls have no idea, but he liked me. And really, and what you, and the fact that you're putting something on for someone else, you're not thinking about your parents, the consequences, none of that. So like I told her, so what you think your mother going to do when she find out? She's going to take the credit card. He's going to dump you. He ain't going to have nothing else to do with you, but he's still going to be styling them Jordans and that outfit and that watch you bought.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Here's the thing for the young ladies. Young ladies, instead of buying stuff for a boy who doesn't really like you, who just wants to have sex with you, doesn't care about you, spend your money on Common Sense Ain't Common, which is available in the books tab at TazAdie.com, and hopefully that common sense you learn will help you save you from heartache as well as hurting your pocket.
That's right.
Thank you,
John.
But we got to have a part two on that, because these teenagers are hitting me, and this is something I wanted them to learn, the value of the money, and stop thinking they found a pot of gold with a credit card. And parents, there should be a limit, but I'm with Miko. I think over 21, no kid at 16, 17, 18 have no business credit card in high school, none whatsoever. Get
a
job.
I'll take it further. They don't, yes, they don't have a job. They don't even get a cell phone. Get all that.
You with me. That's how I did my daughter. You with me.
Because them cell phones, man, that's money just quickly going out their hand. Hi, how you doing? What's good? What? I mean, didn't you guys talk at school? Yeah. Well, that's it then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I know some people who have their kids on a double playing cell phone and calling. I see on Facebook parents posted, I'm paying $989 my child. Who the hell would you not put restriction on minutes? And why would you code anything with your kid with a cell phone or together playing with your child with a cell phone?
You better get one of them track phones.
Girl, say that one more time. Say that one more time.
Get one of those track phones. Hello.
Yeah.
That was just crazy to me, because when my daughter asked for one at 15, I told her, when you get a job, my daughter been working since she was 15, always pay for her own thing. I said, it'll mean more to you and a value when you earn it, because you're going to take advantage when I give it to you. It's not going to mean as much to you.
That's right.
You know, but yeah, it's a lot of parents with the co-partner plan on these Sprints and T-Mobiles and Verizon, and you mad at your child because they ran it up to $900,000, but you the parent. What you think a teenager going to do with a phone? And I agree with you, was the soul in black said, just seen them at school, but 5 minutes you out of school, you talking to them on the bus. But then the thing to get me, teenagers be in the house with a landline phone.
Thank you.
And still sitting in their bedroom talking on the cell phone. Crazy.
That's why parents don't know what they're doing.
None. And their little brothers in their bedroom texting each other.
Mm-hmm.
It makes absolutely no sense to me, but we just have to do better. We have to do better. And we're going to have to do a part two on this, because the teens are asking me, you guys really got good and put it down toward the end, but some is too late, because some of their credit cards did get taken, as it should have. But the thing is, the parents didn't sit down with the stipulations. They didn't have that. So I don't know why a 16, 17-year-old would think there has to be stipulations. What made you think? Well, she never said how much I couldn't spend. So you take a boy to a mall and you just go crazy because there was no stipulation. Come on, you know better. It's just so sad. And I get so frustrated and angry because we're not sitting down and talking to our kids. But then when they see their mother come in with bags, crying broke, mom ain't got money like that, but you walking in with bags of clothes instead of grocery, or trying to put same money on a down payment on the house so we can get out of the quote-unquote hood that folks say they tired of living in, it just don't make sense to me.
Putting hair on layaway. $1,000 worth of hair on layaway.
And that was the craziest invention, that you could put hair on layaway. What the?
Why would you spend $1,000 on layaway for hair that was shaved off the rear end of a yak up in the mountains of Nepal?
That money could be used to buy some
chicken so you can cook. You could buy some steak. You could buy some vegetables.
Exactly.
You know, you could buy some bread, and I'm not talking about one, I'm talking about that whole wheat bread that's healthier for you. You could buy some genuine orange juice. Why spend that money on hair coming off the rear end of a Nepalese yak?
That's true.
How about wearing your own hair? And not only that, we ain't even eating healthy with it.
But you look good. You in poor health.
Yep.
You don't live in a nice half. I'm in the projects, looking good, eating bad, but your hair
yeah.
nails is good.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah. Oh yeah. You mm-hmm. want me to run? Uh-uh, girl, I might sweat out my weave.
Girl.
Yeah.
But they'll run for a plate of ham hocks. They'll run for a plate of ham hocks, man.
You better
say it. Like today, boy, I'm telling you, boy, folks are going to be backed up, man, eating ham, macaroni and cheese, potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
Kool-Aid, and let me ask everybody on the panel this,
because I didn't want to upset nobody while we were streaming, but let me say this to you. No, really, and y'all think about it, and help me understand this. My aunt had posted really on Facebook, she was like, these parents, and she said, I'm going to listen to the show because I love that you guys are going to talk to these parents about money. You know, and credit cards, she said, but what about the parents got their kids believing in the Easter Bunny and a Santa Claus? You don't talk and teach them and go to church or talk to them about money, but you got these 9 to 10-year-olds believing in a damn Easter Bunny and Easter basket. You going broke every year for Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. It's crazy.
And so then it goes back into that, just like Nico was saying, that psychology, okay? This thing of you give to me. I'm entitled something. So this white man in this red suit and this rabbit gonna bring me this basket. Rabbits don't lay no damn eggs. Okay, I mean, it's just crazy. You know,
but we have our kids, instead of talking to them about important things, the value of a dollar, but you cry you broke, but every Easter and Christmas you broke by the things you got them believing in.
They estimate people put themselves back about $12,000 every year for Christmas alone. And how do they fund that Christmas? How do they fund those Christmas gifts?
Credit cards.
On credit cards.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
How many women do we know yesterday? Y'all probably have some in your family or some close friends that were running around like chickens with their heads off yesterday.
Girl, gotta get stockings.
Going
to find
Easter Sunday. Yes, Easter Sunday dresses, stockings,
mm-hmm.
little shoes. Little suits, little shoes for the boys.
Kids don't go to church no other time but that once a year.
It's like, you know, everybody's turned out today. Everybody's turned out today in the church. Everybody. It's just
girl,
like,
looking
girl,
like
they're
going to the Grammys and the Oscars all in one.
Yes. Yes, and we do this every year. It's crazy. My aunt
is crazy.
I can call her and I guarantee you she probably spent about $100 cooking ham. Macaroni and cheese, sweet potato pie, better than sex cake, yes, greens, pig feet, pig snout, pig ears, probably the pig's ass, every part of the damn pig is laid out on that table. Old McDonald's farm will be on that damn table today.
Exactly.
And by tonight, when those kids are hungry, they will go to where? Taco Bell. And she will put herself back, $200, yeah.
But I even tell my mother, you can cook that healthy with the greens. You can use turkey. Use chicken broth. You don't have to use grease in everything. You know,
get rid of that pork, first of all.
And that's the hardest thing, to get my mother and father off pork. I ain't ate pork in 17 years. My father, but your grandmother lived till she was 97 on pork. I said, she raised her own pig. They injected so much stuff in these
it's
animals.
It's a different type of pig now,
it's totally different.
Got human genes. Fly jeans, everything else, man. They got a patent on the pig. Monsanto,
I'm telling
look it up.
It, when somebody
look
said
it
invest in pork, alcohol, and tobacco for black people, it's sad, but it's true. That's the only
thing
you'll get.
Oh, we'll make
plenty
of money.
Everybody that's still here, I know that the show, they cut off the phone lines after a while.
Yeah,
after
stop
show.
Streaming.
Yeah, I have a conference call number if y'all want to call in and continue the conversation.
I don't know what people are doing. I know it's Easter, but it seems like everybody's on a good flow right now. So if you want to call in, it's cool. If not, and you want to get to those greens and cornbread, it's all good, too.
Oh, I pass on that.
Speaking of cornbread, Miko, speaking of cornbread, so are you taking investors when you start selling the cornbread and stuff? Because, I mean, I know P. Smitty will, but if it's that good and it will sell, I'll invest. I'm just saying.
Well, you can invest in my future restaurant because that's what I plan on opening. So I hope that everybody that was listening won't stay home and eat every day.
Okay.
Well, perhaps when we do part two of this show, for those young children who want to get their feet wet as far as investing, hey, you never know. Each of them, you know, $5, $10, you know.
Yeah.
You'll pay off some dividends, I presume, but, you know, we'll see.
I'm going to post it. I'm not your friend on Facebook yet, Shonda. How do I find you?
Oh, I'll suggest you. Don't worry about that. I'll be right on that. But, yes, to the kids who will be listening in the archives, when Miko's Culinary Delights restaurant does open, if you want to be an investor, yes, we'll make that happen.
Well, this
yes.
has been wonderful.
It has. So it definitely has. So anybody, I usually leave my conference call open to everybody to call in and just chit chat or whatever. The number is 641-715-3200 and the code is 190-818-POUND. So if you want to hop in on that, I'm going to leave that open for probably another couple of hours for people to just have random talks and, you know, bring up whatever the heck they want to bring up.
Right on. Man.
Miko and Shonda, I just send you guys mutual suggestions on Facebook so you guys will be able to link up that way. And anybody in favor of having Miko as a regular financial commentator, I'll say aye. If you're opposed, go jump off a building.
Aye.
Okay, vote concluded. Miko, you're a regular financial commentator. It's all good now.
Okay, thank you.
That is wonderful.
Don't you love democracy in action?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like, it's really great. You know, I never really thought of myself as a financial commentator. You know, my show is usually based on relationships. So, but, I mean, they're interconnected. So it's really cool to be able to talk about something that's a little different. But, you know, politics, history, all that is definitely my forte. And like I said, everything is interconnected. So thank you for the opportunity, everyone.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
And everybody have a good and blessed. We got to do this again and do a part two.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I don't know, folks, if you guys I don't know if you guys still want to continue this. I want to go spend some quality time with my wife, but this was great.
Oh.
We definitely need a part two. And,
yeah.
And if possible, we can speak more about what the young kids can do individually. We talked a lot about what we need to do as a community as far as more of us investing with families, but the individuals, how do we get start? How we get them started on the road to wealth? So that's hopefully we can discuss that next time.